Now that was a long time ago that we talked about James chapter 1, but some of you I know were there at that time. In James 1:19, James says, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." Two ears, swift to hear, one tongue, slow to speak. Now as we come to James chapter 3, we see a discussion of the tongue in the first 12 verses. Today we'll look at verses 1 through 6, and the Lord willing, we'll consider verses 7 through 12 in August, and the title of that message will be Taming the Tongue. So that's something else that we can look forward to. But today we'll look at the first 6 verses. And verse 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Now I've entitled this section, "Teachers in the Church," because the Greek word for masters is actually literally the word teachers. The Greek word, for those of you who are interested in Greek, it's didaskaloi, and the verb to teach is didaskein. From this root, we actually get the English word didactic. So you've got to be pretty good in English to know that word, because it's not a word that we use very often. But didactic means educational, instructive, or teaching. Teachers are necessary. But, interesting that word but, isn't it? But they should be in the minority. What do I mean by they should be in the minority? Can you imagine when there is a class of 2 or 3 students, but there are 24 teachers? Ridiculous, isn't it? It is bad when a church has no teachers. But perhaps worse, when everyone wants to teach. If you are a teacher, now I realize many of the teachers have gone out with the children to teach in Sunday school. But I know you do rotate, and some teachers are still here. But if you are a teacher, the Lord will hold you responsible for those you teach. It is a serious matter to be a teacher of the Word of God. And the Board of Elders has the responsibility, a very heavy responsibility, to carefully select preachers, teachers, speakers for worship services, Sunday school, fellowship groups, and the like. By the way, every member has a great responsibility. Next week you have an ECM, Extraordinary Congregational Meeting. You have a responsibility to be there and to vote. So please, if you are a member, take that responsibility seriously and show up for the ECM and cast your vote as the Lord guides and as He leads in the future of the church. Now, I should also mention that teachers will be judged. In the last part of verse 1, we shall receive the greater condemnation. The word condemnation actually means judgment. In the Greek, it's the word krima, which means judge. Note the following Bible verses regarding judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All, you and I, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then in Luke chapter 12, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Much will be required if the Lord has given you much. So we need to remember that. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, the last chapter in the book of Hebrews, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. So here are church leaders, elders, deacons, the church leaders. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. They watch out. They care for your soul, and you need to obey them. And then remember as well, they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So they must give account. So all will be judged. You and I, we will all be judged. And those who are ministers of the word, and that includes me, obviously, we must give an account one day to God. We'll stand before him. What have you done? Have you been faithful? Have you served me? So we must give an account to God. So remember that. Verse 1, there's already a lot of truth in there and a lot of responsibilities for us. But we must go on to verses 2, 3, and 4, and then we'll come eventually to 5 and 6. But 2, 3, and 4, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So here we're talking about speakers of the word. Now the word offend, for in many things we offend all. The word offend means to trip or to stumble. And we're all stumbling. That is, we are all sinning. None of us has reached sinless perfection. We do not offend in a few things only, but all of us offend in many things. In many things, we offend all, it says. And then James goes on, if any man. So James is now thinking not only of teachers, but he thinks of any man. By the way, ladies, don't think you can escape, because you are included here as well. But if any man or any woman. So, is there any man or any woman who never sins with his or her tongue? Note Isaiah here, chapter 6 and verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So, watch your tongue. I'm a man of unclean lips. Man uses his tongue to sin against God. Note that a sin against another person is really a sin against God. Psalm 51 is a psalm of David. And he wrote this psalm after the prophet Nathan had come to him, after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Now, note verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 51. David writes here, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Notice what David says. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, but he says, "Against thee, against God, have I sinned. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned." We would say, well, he sinned against Bathsheba. He sins against her husband. You know, he's sinned a lot. Now, notice, by the way, I haven't finished the passage here yet. "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Some people speak blasphemous words, some lie, or speak evil about other people. Some speak indiscreetly or speak foolishly. And when I think of all these things, the opposite, if you want to know what's right, consider the Ten Commandments and consider also the Sermon on the Mount, because both of them teach us what is right. So, the Lord Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So be aware of that. So, we have the Word of God that teaches us what is right and tells us what is wrong. Now, it's interesting, as we go on here with verses, 3 and 4. Last month, when we talked about the last part of chapter 2, we saw that James uses illustrations in his epistle. Okay, there we had the illustrations when he talked about the faith of Abraham and the faith of Rahab. Now here, in verses 3 and 4, he also again uses illustrations. So two illustrations. One about horses, and the other one about ships. But he uses two illustrations to show that something small can affect something big. So the first illustration is the bit that is put into a horse's mouth. Now, I don't know very much about horses, so I have to do a little bit of research on this. A bit is like a pencil or a pen. It is long and thin. Actually, it's about 15 centimeters long, which is about how long this is. And it's about 15 millimeters wide, which is actually a little more than this. But it's very small. So, it's a little thing, but it's absolutely necessary to control the horse. It's put in the horse's mouth, and then you can pull, and you can control the horse. Actually, it's a little thing, but it's absolutely necessary in order to control the horse. To tame a wild horse is a difficult task, but it can be done. If you have proper training and you have been working with horses, you can do it. But to subdue a wild tongue is an even more difficult task. Only the Lord can do that. We need God's help to control our tongue. Now, the second illustration is about ships or boats. What's the difference between a ship and a boat? Ship is bigger, a boat is smaller. All right. Now, it talks particularly about the rudder that is used to steer a boat. I know a little bit more about boats than I do about horses. My father liked sailing. He liked it very much. When we were still in the Netherlands, he never had a boat. But after the family moved to the U.S., he eventually bought himself a sailboat and later on a motorboat, as he got too old for a sailboat. But in the summers, three summers, 1957, 1958, 1959. I know that's before many of you were born. But that summer, my dad took my mom, my sister, and I sailing. So I learned how to sail a small boat. And I learned that even though the winds may be strong, a boat can be steered with a rudder. You know, you have the helm. Just the horizontal piece of wood that is connected to the rudder. But in relation to the size of the boat or ship, the rudder is very small. Now, if you stand next to the rudder, if you take a big sailing ship, you know, we all know about the Titanic, but there are more modern ships than that. And if you have a large ship, 200 meters, 250 meters, some of the large oil tankers are that big. The rudder is several meters long. So you say, who? Standing next to that, I'm small. The rudder is bigger than I am. But if you have a rudder of, say, 5 meters, and the ship is 200 meters, then it's a pretty small rudder. Yet, the ship can be controlled. That big ship with that small rudder. And in the same way, the little tongue in our mouth, that little piece of flesh that dwelleth between the jaws, and it is sometimes referred to, that controls our mouth and our speech. And it is as important as the little rudder of the ship. The little tongue determines the direction of the whole body. So the tongue is pretty important. I remember when I was in seminary, one day one of our teachers took this passage and spoke probably about 4 or 5 chapel messages about the tongue. And I learned a lot from that teacher. He was our Hebrew and Old Testament prophets and poets teacher. So, but we need to go on. So we come to verses 5 and 6. And I've entitled that, Sparks in the Wood. Sparks in the Woods. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Like the bit of the horse and the helm of the boat or the rudder of the boat, the tongue is a very small part of the body. It is called a little member. That is of great importance. It can be a power for good, or it can be a power for evil. It says, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The Greek word for matter is houle. And that actually means wood, forest, or firewood. So, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Behold how great a forest a little fire kindleth. There's a saying in I'm sure you've heard of it, especially in South Australia with the danger of the forest fire, but a spark can destroy a park. And how true. Spark is small, but once it catches fire, a whole forest can be destroyed. My very first time to come to Adelaide was in 1984, and I came for about a month to talk to the people here about the possibility of starting a Bible college. And one of the members of the church took me to Mount Lofty, and he told me about the Ash Wednesday fires. That was a year after the fires. That was 83, so a year after. And there was still a lot of evidence of the fire. Even today, you can still see the evidence of the fire. But the fire starts small, but it becomes big. So a spark can destroy a park. But notice the book of Proverbs. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That's Proverbs chapter 25. And Proverbs 15. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. And a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now, remember those words in Proverbs. I'll come back to that in just a few moments. When James says, the tongue is a world of iniquity, he emphasizes the enormity of evil that it is capable of producing. The tongue defileth the whole body. The whole body is drawn into sin by the tongue. And also, the tongue excuses and defends sin. There is a story of a woman in an Indian village who maliciously gossiped about other ladies in the village and also their families. One day, she found out that she had been wrong, and she had a change of heart. She went to the village wise man and asked how she could take back all the wrong that she had done. The wise man told her, go home, kill a chicken, pluck its feathers, and put a feather in front of each of the houses of those that you have wronged. And then come back and see me again. Well, the lady did as she was called. She killed the chicken, plucked the feathers, and put them in front of the houses. Then she went back to the wise man. And she said, I've done what you told me. Now what? He said, go back and pick up all the feathers that you have put down. All the feathers that you have scattered throughout the village. The woman was astonished. How can I? That's impossible. By now the wind has carried the feathers throughout the village and beyond the village. And the wise man then told her, and so it is with your careless words. They are like the feathers scattered in the wind. You cannot retrieve them. And with that, the woman, with a broken heart because of the words she had spoken, went her way, determined from that day forward to watch her words. How much better from now on to remember God's words, like in Proverbs, already mentioned. Apples of gold, pictures of silver. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. But a good word maketh it glad. And Ephesians, the New Testament, chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And if you have sinned with your tongue, remember to confess your sin to the Lord. Repent of that sin and ask God to forgive you. And if you do, He will. One final thought. I've mentioned several verses from the book of Proverbs. May I suggest that you read one chapter of the book of Proverbs every day? Proverbs has 31 chapters. You can read chapter 1 on the first day of the month, and then by the end of the month, you will have read the whole book of Proverbs. Now I know February 28 or 29 days, and other months have only 30 days, like June. There are 7 months that have 31 days. By the way, it's very easy. You take your hand like this, or a fist, and you put your finger here. This is high, 31. This is low, so less. This is high, 31. This is low, 30. 31, 30, 31. Start over again, 31 again, because July and August both have 31 days. That's what I was taught as a young child. Very good. Of course, you have to remember that the second one, February, is 28 or 29. But that's not the point. The point is, read a chapter in the book of Proverbs every day. You know? If you do that, you will be blessed by the many words of wisdom from your speech. I've only given you a few. But if you do this, you know, you can start in chapter 7 today if you want, and reach through till chapter 30, and then in July you can start with chapter 1. But if you do that, psalm a day, that is also, doesn't keep the doctor away, but it certainly keeps the psychiatrist away. Psalm a day is helpful. Chapter in Proverbs is also very, very helpful. So, and one final verse. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. As the Apostle Paul says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how he ought to answer every man. Let your speech be always with grace. And if it isn't, ask God to forgive you. And he will, if you ask him. And read a chapter of Proverbs every day. What a blessing that will be to your heart. And what a blessing it will be to those you meet when you learn, with God's help, to control your tongue. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, although the tongue is a little member, we know that the little tongue determines the direction of the whole body. Father, if we have sinned with our tongue, we confess our sins unto thee. We ask thee to forgive us and help us to learn from the book of Proverbs and other passages of the Word of God how to control our tongue, that our speech may be seasoned with grace, that it may be glorifying to thee, like apples of gold in pictures of silver. So, Lord, help us to control our tongue, even though it may be very little. It matters greatly in our life. So, Lord, help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.